Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome in to Sports Daily on this Thursday. Tommy Caster here with you this morning. Max Power producing the program. Jacob Albrocht out today. TJ Cleland will be joining us here shortly this morning. You know, Max, I got to tell you here as we get going right off the top, it's tough, I think, a little bit for some folks to get up a little bit early.
I think you should have called him at like 4:30. TJ, you up?
I know. I gotta give him some grief. I mean, I don't know if he's listening right now on his way in, but I think the guy overslept a little bit. So that happens. You know, you're not used to the routine. You're not used to, getting up early and joining the program like that. So hopefully here in a few minutes, we'll have our buddy TJ Cleland joining us as he fills in for Jacob Albrocht today. It's a big day on the program. We kick off the NFL season. It's finally here. We are in it. We have been waiting for so long for the NFL season. It kicks off tonight. Cowboys and Eagles. We put all of the offseason storylines to the side. Those are done. Those don't matter anymore. And we actually get into the action on the field. It's that time. Cowboys and Eagles tonight kicking off the NFL season. And then tomorrow, we've got Chiefs and Chargers in Brazil. I saw the Chiefs landed yesterday in Sao Paulo. The Chargers got there a little bit before the Chiefs did as they start to get themselves acclimated to that stadium, that country. And all of that is we've got meaningful football kicking off this week. And then, of course, the main slate of NFL games kick off on Sunday. There's a lot to get to on the program today. We'll talk NFL. We will talk Chiefs and Chargers. We will talk about the Royals. They let another one slip through their fingertips. And I feel like their quest for a playoff bid is getting more and more difficult by the day as they let these games slip away. It's unfortunate, but that's where we're at. We'll get into that as well as the show goes on today. We also will have a couple of guests coming up on the program that we'll want to make sure that you know about. We've got PJ Glasser coming up in our next hour as he will be joining us to talk about best bets for the NFL Week 1. We'll also talk to him about college football as well, as we might have a little bit more of an understanding about some of those top teams in college football. We will talk to him as well coming up here on the program in our next hour. We'll also talk to Tim Fitzgerald. I've been looking forward to talking to Fitz all week long after we found out, after we watched the game in Manhattan on Saturday night as K-State narrowly beat North Dakota. I want to get his take on the program, get his take on what the heck is going on with K-State football. They have under-delivered and under-impressed through the first 2 weeks of the season. We'll talk to him about that in our next hour as well. That is all What's on Tap. What's on Tap is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pep Pepperoni Pizza that's topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pep Pepperoni is now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Max, I got to ask you, my friend, how you doing today? Happy Thursday.
Well, I'm all right now, but last week I was in rough shape, you know?
Oh, like a little Rodney Dangerfield there action for you. Glad you can be here with us. Glad you can all be here with us on the program. Multiple ways that you can join the show today. All you have to do is give Max a call on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. We'll get you connected here on the program. You can also leave us a video comment on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can join us that way as well. And those comments can pop up right up on the screen if you're watching our video stream. We can get to those as the show goes on today. You can also leave us a voice comment as well, a voice message if you're listening on the Odyssey app. All you have to do is open up that Odyssey app, click the microphone button, it's basically like leaving us a voicemail. You can leave us your message. We can play those back right here on the program. Multiple different ways for you to get in touch with the show today. Like I mentioned, a lot on tap here today on the show. I want to get things started right off the top by talking a little bit about the Royals, and we'll get into that with TJ a little bit later on this hour as well. But just another disappointing game against a team that the Royals should be beating. They've dropped the first two games at home in this series against the Angels. And I'll tell you what, if they have any hope of the playoffs, You've got to take these games. You've got to be able to win these games. And the Royals had a 2-0 lead going into the sixth inning, and it seems like this is a broken record. We talked about this yesterday on the program about how the Royals are unable to maintain a lead. And in this case, it wasn't the starting pitching. Ryan Burgert had a really good game, 5 innings pitched, 1 earned run. He struck out 6, did walk 3. So he had a little bit of traffic on the base paths, but all in all, it was another good outing for the rookie Ryan Burgert, who has been a good addition to the Royals at the trade deadline. John Schreiber, who has been pretty nails most of this season, he's the one that ends up losing the game. He takes the loss, 1 inning pitched for him, 2 earned runs on 2 hits. And when the Royals aren't scoring runs, this is what happens. You end up falling apart like this. You can't maintain that lead. You give it up with the bullpen in the middle innings, and then offensively, the Royals just can't get it done. 0-for-3, Bobby Witt Jr. had a forgettable game. Vinny Pasquantino, 0-for-4, a forgettable game and series for him. In fact, ever since the Royals left Detroit, Vinny Pasquantino is batting under 100, so he's slumping right now. Mikel Garcia, forgettable night, 0-for-4. When you've got your guys that are in the middle of the lineup, unable to deliver, unable to produce, especially in late-inning situations, this is kind of what the end result ends up being. Jack Caglione gets his first start back, 0-for-2 for him. It's kind of the same thing that we saw from him his last stint in the bigs, where he has a hard hit ball right at the right fielder and he's unable to make anything happen. And so, disappointing all the way around. And I think in the large scale of things, as we're looking at the wild card race, it was a prime opportunity for Kansas City last night that they let get away from them, that they squandered, because you had everybody, for the most part, that you were chasing in the wild card lose. The Rangers lost yesterday early in the day. The Mariners got blown out. So you knew, hey, if the Royals can get this win, they could have been only a game and a half back of that third wild card spot. Doesn't happen. They lose the game, and they don't gain any ground whatsoever in the wild card. On top of that, with the loss, they also let in a couple of other teams who are playing good baseball right now. I mentioned the Rangers lost earlier in the day, but they've been red hot. They're nipping at the heels of, in fact, they're nipping at the heels of the third wild card spot as well. And they're a game ahead of Kansas City now for that third wild card spot, only a game and a half back. Kansas City's 2.5 back, and you've let the Rays back in it, who are now also 2.5 back, and Cleveland is only 3 games back. So things are really compressing right there to get to that third wild card spot. You cannot have these games happen. You cannot have these outcomes happen against a team like the Angels that you should be beating. You should, especially at home, you should be scoring enough runs to be able to take care of that. Unfortunately, it didn't happen for the Royals. They dropped the first two in this series, and they've got to salvage the series tonight against the Angels. We'll get more into that as the show goes on, as TJ Cleland joins us here in just a little bit on the program. I want to remind you, want to let you know here on the program today that we've got so much to get to. We've got giveaways. We'll give away some Swing 365 golf. That'll be coming up in just a little while on the show. We'll give away some HTO as well. There's a lot going on, and we are just underway here on this Thursday morning on Sports Daily. So don't go away. Max Power producing. I'm Tommy Caster. We'll be right back.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Sports Talk on KFH is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily, Tommy Caster, Max Power producing the program. My buddy Jacob Albrock joining us on the phone temporarily. Jacob, like I just mentioned, you can't count on much these days. And I think you almost have to include TJ Cleland in that conversation a little bit. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man. He needs the appropriate amount of grief. We're rocking and rolling from the from the beautiful St. Louis airport here in a long layover trying to get to Nashville.
How is St. Louis this morning at 7:17 in the morning?
It's something. I got to be honest. This is maybe my least favorite airport on the planet. Not a fan.
Yeah.
But it was like, I didn't even realize we had this. We woke up at like 3:30 this morning to catch our flight out of Wichita, and we landed. And I'm like, wait, we have a 3-hour layover? I didn't even realize we had the layover because we're getting in so early. But yeah, it's wonderful.
Well, good. Well, thanks for joining us for a few minutes until we can get our buddy TJ in place here and ready to roll. I got to get your thoughts on the Royals last night. Another disappointing outing for them. We talked about it before the break, and these are games that you have to win if you want to be a playoff team, if you want to get that third wild card spot. And it was a prime opportunity for them. The Rangers lost. The Mariners lost. They had an opportunity to be only a game and a half back. And it wasn't so much the starting pitching this time around. Ryan Burgert had a good outing, but John Schreiber, who's been really good this season, but probably a little bit overworked, has the bad sixth inning. And then the Royals bats really can't do anything. The middle of their lineup was absolutely silent last night. That's a gut punch of a game in a stretch of games where we've had a handful of gut punch games.
I mean, nobody wants to win this wild card. That's what it looks like to me. Like, nobody wants to go take it. The opportunity could not be greater. I mean, it couldn't be. Like, Schreiber's been so good for a while. We've said it before, they're going to have to hit their way into this thing. I mean, this pitching that's held it together forever, it's felt on a thread for a while, for a few weeks. They're going to have to score more against these teams that aren't very good. Like, you can't go through that game and score 3 runs. Like, it's not going to be enough. And it's frustrating because they have opportunities. They have the pieces in place. Nobody is in a brutal slump individually. It's just, again, it's sort of like it was during the bad stretch where they can't put their foot on the gas offensively.
You're absolutely right about that. And the 2 through 5 places in the lineup, from Bobby Witt Jr. to Pasquantino, Michael Garcia, Salvador Perez, 1 for 14 last night. I mean, like, you've got the heart of your lineup unable to produce. And especially in a situation where it's a tight ball game, you give up those 3 runs in the top of the 6th, and then there's really not a whole lot more that the Royals are able to do. They tie the ball game, but then give up the lead ultimately, and they're unable to come back. And the frustrating thing for me is that you watch that game and you get in the late situations, and while the team, I think, collectively has improved their overall offensive output, they can revert back very quickly to the frustrating outcomes that we saw so long this season, where they're just unable to deliver in clutch moments, and that reared its ugly head last night.
Yeah, Salvi struggling. I mean, he has been sort of the straw that stirred the drink for much of the season. So I guess we shouldn't be totally surprised that his struggles any individual week go into it. The good news is, and this is what's been, I'm generally optimistic, but I'm also realistic. Like, this thing is so much within reach for them despite these stumbles, and it's because everybody else around them is stumbling. Like, it's right there. They really are a good week from taking a wild card spot. We said 87 wins. I don't know if it's going to be 87. It might be 85. I just nobody's running away with it. Thank goodness, because it's giving the Royals a chance. Texas got hot, but the thing about Texas is, and people, like, they have so many injuries right now. It's like, you look up and down the lineup, you don't even know who these players are. I mean, even as a Rangers fan, like, I don't even know who a lot of these guys are. I don't know how sustainable theirs is either. Seattle is being typical Seattle, which is crumbling down the stretch. Like, it's right there. The Royals just have to win some games. And, losing two to the Angels blows, quite frankly. But win another one. You've got another winnable series coming up. Like, what do you think is going to happen if they win the next four games? They're going to be in the wild card spot. And they're going to be in.
Absolutely. So it's right there. Yeah, it's a one game season at this point, but they've got to salvage this series tonight. I want to get the opinion here of our friend Sleeping Beauty, who just arrived. Jacob, I'll let you start because TJ obviously is going to need a decent amount of grief here this morning. He's here. He made it finally. But obviously you had to cover a little bit for us.
TJ, you are a young man. I was up at 3:30 this morning, and I am no longer a young man. What possible excuse is even acceptable?
I really just wanted to give Tommy the opportunity, now that he's officially our boss, to reprimand somebody the first day on the job. So I said, I'm going to sleep in. Who cares?
Just test, dip your toe in the water.
I'm going to test his managerial leadership, see how he handles this, if it's authoritarian, if it's supportive, what is it going to be?
I'm a big believer in the praise in public and criticize in private mentality. So just wait till we go to a commercial break and we'll have a conversation about it. Glad you're here. Jacob, we'll let you go. I appreciate your thoughts on the Royals. I know you're hanging out in the St. Louis airport. Safe travels. Enjoy your trip.
Let's win some money this weekend, fellas. It's big weekend.
It is. Sounds good. There goes Jacob Albrecht. TJ, we've been talking Royals since we got started here. Another winnable game that slipped through their fingertips last night, and just disappointing for them as they're battling for this wild card spot. Again, it wasn't Ryan Burgert. They turned it over to the bullpen, and John Schreiber couldn't get it done. And then the bats were just absolutely silent last night.
Yeah, Jacob said it best as I was driving in here, is that the fact that nobody wants this third wild card spot, and it's not just the Royals, it's everybody. You think, just as a fair weather fan that I've kind of turned into being during as football season gets bigger and bigger, you watch the Royals and it's like, oh, they lost, they're out of it. And it's like, nope, everybody else lost again. Like, nobody wants to win these games to get into this final spot. So it's crazy to say that they're not dead in the water yet after they're dropping games that they need to be winning. But it's not over yet. They still got a chance. Last night stings. The Angel series is one that you probably, kind of need to take a little bit. And last night was one that you definitely needed to win. It hurts that John Schreiber lost it that way. It hurts worse. I heard you talking about Cags, 110-mile-an-hour lineout. He's officially back in the majors. He only does that in the big league level. So it's a punch in the gut for sure.
It absolutely is. And you mentioned, and Jacob mentioned too, how nobody wants to win this third wild card spot. I think on the flip side of that, with these losses, the Royals are bringing in additional teams into the mix that, as recently as a week ago or a few days ago, these other teams were far out of it as well. We're talking not only the Rangers, but the Rays are now tied with the Royals. The Guardians are just a half game back of the Royals and only three back of that third wild card spot. So now you've got a more condensed and compressed race here where it's not just the Royals chasing the Mariners. You've got four teams that are now back in the mix for that one final wild card spot. And I think that's honestly the most concerning thing for me, is that it's not just a two-team race now. It's more like a five-team race for one final wild card spot.
Yeah, when you get into that point, baseball is a lot about luck and who's hot at the right time. And whenever you have basically five teams in the fold of, you need to be the hot team and everybody else needs to get cold a little bit, it's going to take a bit more. So the Royals are going to have to go on another one of their crazy stretches. They've had two this year, so it's not out of the ordinary to do, but what do they have coming up? They host the Twins, go to the Guardians, then it's Phillies, and then the Mariners. So, that's a tough stretch. There's not many easy games you're going to find there. That's what hurts the worst about losing a series to the Angels. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and there are definitely some concerning question marks with the rotation. And this has been going on for quite a while, but Matt Quatrero mentioned after the game that Seth Lugo was dealing with some lower back tightness. We're getting towards the end of the season where it's a grind and it's grueling, and Lugo hasn't been right ever since he signed that extension. And it looks like he's going to have his start at bare minimum pushed back. I don't know if it's going to be skipped altogether, but pushed back bare minimum. Noah Cameron will get the start tonight in the game against Kyle Hendricks. And then you've got Michael Wacha in the opening game against the Twins. It does sound like potentially Lugo could go on Saturday night against the Twins, but it is concerning when you look at that and like, man, like what are they going to do with this rotation? They already had Cameron skip a start last weekend, and they had Stephen Kolick pitch, and he pitched pretty well. But they're just trying to piecemeal together a rotation and get them to the end of this season.
It is crazy compared to what we were talking about in March of how good this rotation was and how it was the strength of this team and everything. And it still basically kind of is, honestly. But the fact of you don't have Bubic out there. You don't have Reagans out there. If Lugo's hurt, you're going to lose him as well. It's a completely different team than what we saw at the beginning of the season. It's baseball. I understand. It's September. It's a different season of the year, basically. So, yeah, losing Lugo hurts, but Lugo, the way that he's pitched since he signed the extension, you know, there's something that's got to give. So, you might feel better that he might have been hurt this whole time or something. Maybe he signed his extension with a 200-pound pin and hurt picking it up or something like that. That might make you feel better that the fact that there is something there to get this taken care of is if they do make this playoff push, Lugo is a guy that you're absolutely going to need for that wild card series. Because he's a guy that you can trust, and he showed all of the first half of the season, all of last year, what he can do.
At the bare minimum, he won't pitch tonight. It may be this weekend. They may skip his start altogether. We don't have official starting pitchers for Saturday's game. It does look like Cameron tonight, Wacha on Friday. Michael Lorenzen is listed as the starting pitcher on the Sunday finale against the Twins. But you've got to salvage this series tonight against the Angels. It's a 6:40 first pitch at Kauffman Stadium, and you'll be able to listen to all the coverage over on KNSS AM 1330 tonight. Is where we will have the game. Let's shift gears here, TJ, with the final few minutes we have in this segment. It's opening night of the NFL. Cowboys and Eagles tonight. Chiefs, Chargers tomorrow night from Brazil. We'll talk to our betting insider, PJ Glasser, in our next hour for his favorite bets of the weekend, not just in the NFL, but also in college football also. So we'll get into more of the betting in our next hour. But top-level view, TJ, it's a big matchup tonight, divisional foes between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Of course, the Cowboys are always in the news, but especially in the news with the Micah Parsons trade last week. And the Eagles, I feel like I mentioned this yesterday on the show, I almost feel like for a defending champion, the Eagles are almost being slept on a little bit. I know we'll do our picks officially tomorrow. Actually, we picked this game last week on Friday.
Yeah.
I feel like the Eagles are going to run all over the Cowboys tonight. That's just my thoughts on that.
I think they are, too. I think the fact that what the Cowboys have done all offseason have been in the news with the Micah Parsons trade, losing Micah Parsons, it can't be good for a locker room morale for the way that situation went down. You think about that. You think about the Eagles and what they do well is going to be just run it down their throats all night long. I don't know. You think about that Cowboys defense of who's going to step up, who's going to take, that position of Mike Parsons to block off those edges. So I'm going to take the Eagles all over in this one. And I think I hope I did. I think I did on the picks last week. We'll see if Paul wrote it down right, I guess. I think it's going to be an awesome game. As a Saquon fantasy owner, I'm very excited to see what he's going to look like this year, because I don't know if you can have another 2,000-yard rushing season, but if there's somebody that can, I still think he's probably the best running back in the league.
You'd have to think that maybe his usage will decline a little bit. I mean, I don't know if that's
like year nine for
him. I don't know if that's sustainable to be able to do that much in back-to-back seasons. Maybe he can. Like you mentioned, if anybody can do it, it'd be Saquon. And so that kicks off the NFL season tonight. We're finally here. After months and months and months of off-season and draft and OTAs, training camps, preseason, all the drama, all the narratives, all the storylines, we actually get meaningful NFL football kicking off tonight with Cowboys and Eagles. I know both the Chiefs and the Chargers landed in Brazil yesterday, getting ready for that matchup tomorrow night. And it sounds like Najee Harris is a full go. He'll be playing. And I mentioned it yesterday on the show. Want to get your quick take on this. And we'll get more into the Chiefs in depth in our next segment. But I really feel like the Chargers, their key to this game is to lean heavy on Harris and Omarion Hampton to establish the run the ball. My biggest question mark with this Chiefs defense is their defensive line outside of Chris Jones. And so I feel like, in my mind, that's the recipe for success for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, you could make the argument either way, I feel like, too. I think if you look at the defensive line, like you said, then you can look at the secondary as the fact of they had like three guys in their secondary get hurt. Justin Reed's not there this year. Nobody knows what that's going to really look like except for the 10 snaps that we got of it in the preseason. So that's kind of my biggest question mark about the Chiefs defense there. So I want your take on this before we go to the next thing. Do you notice, I was listening to the SV pod last night, the Scott Van Pelt podcast. They pointed out there's like 15 of the 16, not that's an exaggeration, 10 of the 16 games are all divisional games to open the year this year.
Really?
Cowboys, Eagles, Chiefs, Chargers, Bucks, Falcons, like up and down the list. What's your take on this Chiefs Chargers game could be huge. It's going to be a tight race. What's your take on this being on a Friday in week 1?
Well, I don't love that it's on a Friday in week 1. Correct me if I'm wrong. We get into high school football tomorrow, right? So way. I mean, I don't love that. I don't love when you've got college football or NFL stepping on the toes of local high school games. So I don't love that for that reason. But I do like the added meaningfulness of a lot of these divisional matchups. I think that that's important to kick off the season in that way and set the tone for the way a division is going to go.
Yeah, it's the same argument you can make for the K-State-Iowa State argument of, do you want to do this before you know who you are as a team? Nobody knows what this is going to look like on the field. So,
but at least in the NFL, you have preseason. You know, like K-State-Iowa State, true. They're just going out and like they've not played a single game and they're going overseas to play. So,
good point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that it definitely makes things more impactful when you're looking at those matchups. The final NFL storyline, and like I mentioned, we'll get more into the Chiefs-Chargers in our next segment. The final NFL storyline that came out late last night, I don't know if you saw this, you probably were asleep. Kind of interesting, some local ties here. The Koch family, they're buying a stake in the New York Giants. $10 billion valuation. So this is according to ESPN. It came out last night. The Koch family has reportedly agreed to purchase a 10% stake in the New York Giants. Bloomberg first reported it. It's pending approval by league owners in October. This is the crazy thing. This would surpass the North American professional record of just over $6 billion that Josh Harris's group paid to buy the Commanders from former owner Dan Snyder in 2023. Julia Koch, the widow of David Koch, she's part of it. So the family is part of it. So I guess that they are part owners right now of the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Liberty, which I didn't realize that. But apparently they are buying a stake in the New York Giants, a little bit of a local tie here with the Koch family getting more into sports ownership.
Interesting. That throws the new tie into the Giants-Chiefs matchup in week 3 or whatever that one is. Yeah, that's interesting a lot. You know, you talk about all the people that get into this, you know, between Tom Brady owning half the team or whatever and everything like that. So it's a completely different game when you get up to that upper management level, and a bunch of different people are getting in. You see the Clippers storyline that came out yesterday? Nobody knows what's going
on
about that.
That's wild. We didn't even have a chance to talk about it on the program yesterday about how allegedly the Clippers circumvented the salary cap by giving Kawhi Leonard a bogus endorsement deal or something that didn't even exist.
From
a tree company that he didn't do anything with, and that was how they were able to get around the salary cap.
Nuts.
That's crazy. There's a lot with that, and I'm sure that happens a lot more often than maybe what people know. It is the first day of the NFL. It's a big day. We're excited. We're celebrating. We're finally here. We're ready to rock and roll. Cowboys, Eagles tonight, but the matchup we're really following, obviously, Chiefs and Chargers in Sao Paulo, Brazil tonight. The big storyline that came out yesterday, TJ, in this game, Jalen Royals did not travel with the team. He is officially out, been dealing with that knee injury basically throughout the majority of preseason. It's probably the right thing to do to hold him out. We found out and realized, I didn't realize until we looked it up the other day on the show, that it's like a 12-hour flight from Kansas City to Sao Paulo.
I didn't know that either.
Probably the right thing to do to not have the rookie with the knee issue sitting on a plane for 12 hours and then being in a different country, not playing, and then turning around and flying 12 hours back. So he did not go with the team on this trip. And then you add that in with the Rashee Rice suspension. All of a sudden, that really deep wide receiver room isn't quite as deep in week 1.
Yeah, it killed me whenever I read that, by the way. It said, Jalen Royals will not be coming with us to Brazil. And it's like, man, imagine having knee tendonitis. Like, yeah, sorry, you can't go to Sao Paulo. Like, oh, okay, I'll hang out in Overland Park, I guess. The wide receiver room is going to be the biggest thing to watch in this week 1. We were talking about it. Who's the wide receiver 2? Is it Juju? Like, we have no idea who it's going to be.
I guess Hollywood, maybe? I don't know. I mean, you know, like, Worthy, I'm glad that Worthy was able to come along the way that he did late in the season and throughout the playoffs. I think assuming he's 100% healthy, you've got to think it's Hollywood.
Yeah, that was the kind of the question as we were leading into it, talking for, you know, fantasy football purposes, is the fact of, like, Hollywood's kind of questionable. He's been banged up all offseason as well. It looks like he's going to go now, but it's just like, if he doesn't go, like, who's behind Juju? Like, who's behind him? Juju? Who's behind Juju? What's his name? Thornton. New roster.
Max's favorite player of all time.
New
Tyquan
roster.
Thornton. I think you've got to at least put the possibility in your head that you're going to see some reps from Tyquan Thornton.
You will.
You're going to see some reps probably from Nico Remigio. I know they love him on special teams, and that's why he made the team, is to be that return guy. But it's a lot more thin now. You're down two receivers before you've even played a game.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting on what they do, because they've kind of made it vocal that they really want to get back to a deep passing game of what Mahomes was really good at a couple of years ago. They've had to kind of go away from a little bit. They don't have receivers these first couple of weeks, especially until Royals gets healthy. It's still to see what that's going to look like. And then it's the fact of, if they don't have the receiver core that can go out and compete at the level they want to, are they going to run the ball? The Chiefs don't run the football. What is Isaiah Pacheco going to look like after just broke his leg a year ago? What's a 33-year-old Kareem Hunt look like, however old he is at this point? A lot of questions are going to be answered of who this Chiefs team is going to be. We've seen, a different Chiefs team every single year on the offense since the three-peat started, I would say. Maybe back to Super Bowl 54.
I've been a huge believer throughout the entire offseason, basically going all the way back to the, end of the season last year and the Super Bowl loss and all of that, that for me, offensively for Kansas City, it's less about the personnel and it's more about the scheme. It's more about the play calling. It's more about the play design and all of that. And of course, even outside of the wide receivers, the biggest story is Josh Simmons. The biggest story is having an anchor on the left side of your line. If they can buy, and it looks like they'll be able to, if they can buy Patrick Mahomes, even an additional second or two in the pocket on basically every play, then that should help make the play calling that much better. You don't have to worry about him running for his life and trying to complete throws on the run quite as much, you would think. And so, for me, it's even less about the personnel. Because by and large, these are the pass catchers that we had a season ago, and they went to the Super Bowl. It was Worthy, it was Brown in the playoffs, it was Smith-Schuster, it was Travis Kelce. You know, it was those guys. That's who they're going to have again this time around. The difference is the line play, and if you can give Patrick Mahomes more time in the pocket to complete those downfield passes, they should theoretically have more success offensively.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think that Andy Reid offense was designed to run the way that it did last year. I think that they probably wanted to be more aggressive on offense. And I think that I remember it, the Mahomes to Worthy pass in LA, I believe. Actually, I think it was the one in the Super Bowl, was the longest pass of the year. I think he only had two passes over 50 yards all season long, basically. And I don't think that was by design. I think that you don't have time to throw a 50-yard pass whenever you have to scramble. You have to get the check down. You have to get the ball out of there because he was getting rushed every single snap last year. So that's the other question. The big thing that you want to watch is there's a ton of hype around Josh Simmons, and everybody says he should have been a top 15 pick if he was healthy heading into the draft. And did the Chiefs really pull one off and get this guy that's going to help them save the offense? So a lot of eyes are going to be on him. I imagine the Chargers are probably going to target that side of the line, because I don't know who we know the left guard. Is it going to be Kingsley at left guard?
I think it's going to be Kingsley. And I think the other big point on that is, let's say it is Kingsley. I think it probably is. You can, if you're Josh Simmons and you are a solid left tackle, in theory, you can help compensate for not great left guard play. Yep. I think we all kind of know what we're going to get in Kingsley Suamataia. It might be serviceable at best, and the worst case scenario is it's bad. But you can have Josh Simmons help compensate for that a little bit on the end of the line. It doesn't really work the other way around. We saw that a season ago. You know, Joe Tooney, who is a great left guard, can't really help compensate for bad left tackle play. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of flip-flop that a little bit, at least in my mind. So even if Kingsley is not ideal, and he probably won't be, if you've got an anchor there on the end of the line with Josh Simmons, that should help that overall side of the line.
Yeah, that's something I'm really excited to see. It's going to be basically reshaped. I think that the fact is that they've got Jalen Moore in their back pocket as well. Jalen Moore can be the swing tackle to come in. If things aren't going well, you can shift guys around. You can do a bunch of stuff. They already are with Kingsley playing left guard. So going to be interesting to see how they handle all that. It just has to be better than it was a year ago, basically.
What was your take on, we haven't talked to you since this all happened, what was your take on the Chiefs trading for Derek Nnadi after they let him walk in free agency just a few months ago? They cut Mike Pinnell.
Yeah.
They chose, this is the crazy thing, they chose Mike Pinnell over Derek Nnadi when the offseason started. They let Nnadi walk, and then they traded a draft pick to bring Nnadi back and cut Mike Pinnell.
Yeah.
I love Brett Veach. I think he's phenomenal. To me, that seems like a misstep in my mind.
Yeah, I was really surprised just in the sheer fact of cutting Mike Pinnell. Mike Pinnell looked like he was going to be a starting defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Like, he had a great year last year in the playoffs. He always does for some reason in the playoffs. So I was surprised. I thought it was going to be, whenever I saw that, it was going to be like a Robert Tonyan situation whenever they let him walk and he doesn't have to clear waivers to bring him right back. And they didn't bring him right back. They let him walk away. So the Nnadi situation, I definitely don't hate trading for Derek Nnadi. It does feel like he wasn't going to make the Jets team. So it felt like they probably could have just saved that pick swap, gotten him off of waivers, because I don't know what the market would be for Derek Nnadi, but I guess that's your way of cutting the line if he did have to go through waivers to go get him. So I don't know. I don't hate it bringing Nnadi back, but it seemed like that was something they were going to do on top of bringing Pinnell back just to help with a kind of depleted defense a little bit. So
here's an idea. Maybe you don't let him walk in free agency and you re-sign him in March.
Yeah.
As opposed to giving up a draft pick to bring him back. That seemed a little weird to me when that whole situation went down. And honestly, that feeds into why I think if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm running the football as much as I can. Because, I mean, again, we know Chris Jones is a unicorn, but there are question marks on that defensive line. Nnadi, well, I know he's got experience with the team, but he's only been back with the team for like a week, and all of a sudden they're going to Brazil. They signed Jerry Tillery, who really has been a non-impact guy throughout the offseason and training camp and preseason. They like Omar Norman a lot, but I haven't heard, I know he's been banged up, I haven't heard much from him over the last couple of weeks. So in my mind, on that line, there are more questions than answers.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I didn't really thought about that part of it. You know, you think about the ends are going to be pretty solid with Carl Loftus and Omenihu on the other side.
Isn't that Omarion Hampton's game is like run between the tackles and, you know, try to do what he, you know, can up the gut? I think that that's where the Chargers, at the very bare minimum, that's where the Chargers can establish the pass game. I don't think if you're Jim Harbaugh, I don't think that the key to success is to just let Justin Herbert go sling it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I think you have to establish the run to set up the pass in this game. I know that sounds really simple, but especially knowing where the question marks are defensively with this Kansas City team, I would think if you can establish that run up the gut with Omarion Hampton, he can have a good debut in the NFL, then that could soften up the already questionable Chiefs defense.
Yeah. Before we dig deeper into this, I guess the question that we're asking here is, you know, is this something the Chargers are going to, you know, pull away from the Chiefs? Or what's your take on this Chargers team? I think they're the second best odds, third best odds to win the AFC West, it looks like. You know, do you think that they're a team that actually can compete for this?
No, I don't. I've got them in the division. I think that they will challenge the Broncos for second. But we did our picks last week. I've got Chiefs winning the division, obviously, because you can't pick against them after nine straight.
Yeah.
Broncos, I think, will take another step forward, and I think they're a playoff team for sure. I believe I have the Chargers making the playoffs as a wild card, but I think they'll be probably a game behind the Broncos. So, I think it's ultimately going to be a better division this year from top to bottom. I think the Raiders will be better with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. They're not going to only win four-ish games this season. But no, I don't have the Chargers winning the division.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Do you feel like this team got better? That was kind of the question that brought up. The Chargers.
The Chargers.
Because it's like, what did they do? They lost Bosa. They lost Christian Fulton.
Right.
Who did they bring in? They brought in Omarion Hampton, who's going to help a lot. But
I mean, they brought back Keenan Allen, which, you know, I know Jacob's higher on than I am. I mean, he's 34 years old or whatever. And I think historically, a second stint with a team usually doesn't work as well when you bring him back after he's been there for a long time. And on top of that, I know that McConkey can play anywhere on the field, but McConkey basically played Keenan Allen's position his rookie season. Yep. So you're going to have to shift somebody around in that offense. No, I don't think that they ultimately got better. It's the Harbaugh effect. I like Jim Harbaugh. So, I don't think they're going to be a bad team. I think the other detriment to them, obviously, they've got a pretty solid offensive line, but when you lose Slater for the entire season, that's a big loss for your offensive line. They'll still be probably a solid line overall from top to bottom, but that's a major, major, major loss for this team.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome game on Friday. I remember I was at the Sunday night game whenever Matthew Wright doinked it in for the division. I was at that Chargers game, and I'm just watching. I mean, Herbert drove up and down the field in that second half. They were lucky to get away with the win there. So, they're a good team. The Chiefs have had their number, I think, for the past 5 years, basically, the entire Mahomes and Herbert tenure. So, I don't know. I think that just for that sheer point, it's going to be a weird one, and it's probably going to be Chiefs win by one and don't cover the way that the Chiefs love to do. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. And we're going to have to find out. We were talking in the newsroom yesterday. It's the first Catch at Kansas Friday.
Yeah.
Are we going to have the phones open with the YouTube app while we're shooting games across the state? That's probably yes.
There you go. I made a declaration the other day on the show that I think Jacob had a heart attack when I said it. I said that this was the season that Justin Herbert has to prove that he's not the second coming of Trevor Lawrence. And Jacob's like, oh, he's so much better than Trevor Lawrence. And he might be, but they're not winning playoff games. They're not in a situation to really challenge. And maybe a better comparison. And then I amended it by saying Justin Herbert could be the second coming of Dan Marino. You know, just puts up a ton of offensive stats, but is never able to win the big one. And I think we're getting to that point now with Justin Herbert where they've got to prove something for sure. We'll get more into that game, and we'll pick it tomorrow on the program in our Friday football picks. We've got a jam-packed next hour of the program. On the other side, our buddy Jay Delling is going to be joining us right at 8 o'clock to talk about the Heritage Classic out at Rolling Hills Country Club, which tees off today. We'll talk to him. PJ Glasser comes up. Tim Fitzgerald joins us. Also, our second hour is full of guests, so don't go away. We'll be doing that on the other side. It's Sports Daily, Tommy Caster and TJ Cleland. We're coming right back.